I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
Live from the greatest city on the planet, Chicago, Illinois, Michigan Avenue, and what's left of the Tribune Tower. 6:12 now. Yesterday we spent most of the post-show time putting stickers on things.
Packing.
Packing up and preparing to leave. It's a life of bubble wrap and stickers now. I've moved a lot in my life.
Yes.
A lot.
Yeah.
I've moved in a long time. Trying to think, the last time I moved was when I was fired in 2010, and I had to. That, I mean, you get fired, you got to move.
You got to leave.
Yeah. So 2000. What is that? 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't sticker anything then. They just said get out. But now we got stickers. We got systems.
So you obviously got your moving packet with your name on it.
Sandberg limited me to what did I get? One box.
One box.
That's good.
One box. I had two boxes I took home.
Mm-hmm.
And you say I'm a box and a half?
Yep. Box and a half.
Aren't you sort of impressed by that?
I am impressed, and I'm impressed you were thorough in your...
Tossing?
Yeah. He did. Now, there is one box that's going over there that I told Steve and Joe that if we don't open it for 6 months, I'm just throwing it away.
Yeah.
We're not even going to take the stuff out. So.
Is that with the wall stuff?
Yes, because I feel... That might be questionable, but that's okay. I didn't want to. I thought you did a great job. You much better than I anticipated.
It wasn't easy though for you to sit there and not throw stuff out. Was it?
No,
I've got a question about moving. I've got a bunch of single serving spoons, plastic spoons, and forks.
Sticker them.
Should I sticker them?
Every one of them.
Or put them in bubble wrap, then sticker them.
That's a good point.
Those are priceless. We need those.
Sticker them. Always looking
for about 50 of them.
But I think his question's like it. Does he wrap then sticker, or sticker then wrap?
Right, I'm just confused.
Do you even have stickers left?
I do have stickers left. Okay. And I'm paralyzed. I can't go forward because I don't know what to do.
Bring them to me. I'll put them in the traffic central box.
People on the call yesterday were on our weekly call. We're asking questions about the move that are clearly laid out in the moving packet with pictures on what you should do.
Oh, is that right?
They did not read the directions.
Okay, I know you're talking about me. And I would like to defend myself on that.
You should do that, but you should do that off the air because it's time for... The top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, and again, the top six at six, an effort to try to give you things you can take to work or school or wherever this morning and go, hey, guess what I know? The Illinois Senate, in a landslide, approved a budget last night. Why is that news? Because we don't do that.
I was going to say, you should give a warning.
We don't do that.
You should give a warning so somebody doesn't get nervous or scared.
That's a good point.
Give that the words on time and balanced budget were in the same sentence, Steve.
Now, where are we with the House? Oh, that's right. The House hasn't approved anything yet. Hold on a second. Who's the Speaker of the House? That's right. Mike Madigan. When we get over the Darth Vader hump, I'll let you know. But the House is expected to okay this budget. We will see as the session finally comes to a close today. By the way, also, as our friend Marianne Ahern told us yesterday, today at 1 o'clock, a new sexual harasser or abusive power type will be revealed in a 1 o'clock press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And whether Marianne Ahern does an update on that before that, we'll let you know. But as usual, great reporting by her.
Absolutely. Can I just add a little amendment to this, too? The House made history Wednesday, allowing the state to become the 37th in the country to ratify the ERA, even though it was 40-plus years after.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if we can take all the laws of 1978 and see if we can update them now, why not?
Absolutely.
Please. Next. 8-month, $3.8 billion federal effort to try to end the longest blackout in United States history, and yet officials in Puerto Rico are almost certain to have a collapsing system again when the next hurricane hits the island of 3.3 million people. It has been literally band-aided together. And the $3.8 billion that has been spent has either been spent in some part or all in ways that have been fraudulently administered or done poorly or done in a way that multiple companies have been involved and one hand's not talking to the other hand. It's a hot mess.
Mm-hmm. And federal forecasters say there's a 75% chance that this hurricane season, which starts tomorrow, will produce between 5 and 9 hurricanes.
And, I mean, they're right in the target zone. Next, Walmart's going to help pay college tuition for its 1.4 million workers in the U.S. There's a list of companies providing education financing as a perk in a tight labor market, and Walmart trying to up their game and help pay for college for folks. You know, Walmart's a weird deal, right? Because there's a lot of folks at Walmart who love their job, and it's terrific and all that. But then there's other folks at Walmart who say, you know, it's a slave labor and the wages are ridiculous. I guess it depends on your own position and your own position in life in some respects. But this college tuition thing has a few yeah buts in it. But overall, obviously, it's a good thing. Next.
Business and retail only. You have to do a major in business or retail only.
What are you talking about?
The Walmart thing. You have to get, so the people who enroll in the program can only go.
Oh, they have to go to that type of school.
They have to get a degree in business or retail
yeah.
in some way.
Yeah, yeah, that's obviously the big hook, right? Yeah. Illinois' first West Nile mosquitoes have been found in the northern suburbs.
Glenview and Morton Grove.
Hmm. What are they doing in Glenview?
The mosquitoes or the people?
Yeah, the mosquitoes.
The people. They're...
Because I heard they were playing the Glen Club. Vino Esposito.
You know, you
with tiny golf clubs.
We sit around a campfire with s'mores. They just sit around kind of a, you know, a bird bath or some mm-hmm. open water.
Any chance any of them will go to, say, Lake Bluff or Lake Forest or...
I hope not.
You know, Kenilworth?
If they're going to migrate?
Sting. Next. This is creepy. Parkland shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz's cell phone videos were released. In it, he says, I'm going to be the next school shooter. Listen. Yeah, there's a public right to know. But why do the victims' families have to see that?
Right.
I don't know. Next, NBA Finals start tonight. The same championship matchup for how many straight years, Dave?
Fourth straight year.
It's not good for the NBA in the long run.
You know,
it's a superstar league.
Yeah.
And superstars will be on display again. But people tire of seeing the same teams over and over again.
I'm not sure about that.
How many people do you know outside of New England that love the New England Patriots?
Well, I understand that. But also, there were a lot of years where it was the Celtics and the Lakers, and people didn't seem to mind that much.
That was before Trump. That's your top 6 at 6.
That's all today for the top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Chuck Todd coming up. I got tickets for Avenue Q. Eric Edelstein will join us after 7. So will Kate Snow. She's got a sit-down with Bill Cosby's accuser, who may well send Cosby to jail, Andrea Constand. And Mayor Rahm Emanuel after 8 o'clock this morning in studios.
He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
6:25, Nick DiGiulio joins us now. What did you find when you were packing your crap up to move?
I'm sorry?
When you were packing your stuff up to move to the new place, what'd you find?
Oh, man, a bunch of crap I didn't need. Stuff that was, like, tucked away in the back. I had a filing cabinet right behind Studio A upstairs and my desk. And the stuff in the desk that I had was okay, but the stuff in the filing cabinet was, like, books by terrible authors that I had on my show and CDs that you can't play anymore because they're CDs.
Right.
And just a bunch of crap. But I'll tell you something. I hate moving. I hate it. I hate it. But every time I have moved, whether it be, you know, at work when we moved from downstairs to the 7th floor or in my life, after you do that and you purge, it is unbelievably, if you feel great.
I've probably done it too much. But I never, you know, it may be because I got fired in 2010 here. I've been fired a lot, but I've fired here. So maybe I didn't want to, you know, roll the dice. But I had nothing. You know, I had nothing in my office. Nothing.
Really?
Yeah. No. That's the thing. That's the lesson that I get. It's a lesson I've never learned because I've been with WGN for 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, like most people who've been in radio, you've been fired from a lot of places. And when I first got my regular gig after reviewing movies for years with Roy, when they hooked me up with Gary Lee Wright, Gary Lee Wright would show up with a big bag every week. He would just show up and have all of his stuff in a bag. We'd finish the show. He'd pick up his bag with everything in it, and he'd leave.
And he'd get on a train, and he'd ride the rails to another town.
Exactly. He never left anything at the station. And, you know, it was weird. But, I mean, it makes sense. I just have been fortunate enough to be with one station for all these years.
Here's my favorite story. I don't think I've ever told this on the air. Maybe I have. Probably have. A week before I got fired in 2010, I get off the air at 7 o'clock. I think I was doing, well, I was probably doing middays then. It doesn't matter. I go back to my office, and there's a guy changing the lock on my office door.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
And it's the middle of the day. It's like 3 in the afternoon, 4 in the afternoon, whatever. And I go up to the door, and I go, problem? He goes, no, I'm just changing the lock. And I go, oh, this is my office. He goes, oh, okay, well, here's a key. So he gives me a key to the new lock on the office because the locksmith showed up on the wrong day. So I went into the general manager, the courageous Tom Langmar, and I said, hey, got the new key to the office. Thanks.
Oh, man.
Those are good days, huh? Good
Those
times.
Are, man, you know, I there was a period of time between 2008 and 2010 and a little bit after, where it was rough to work at WGN.
Rough?
And
between rough? Are you kidding me? I took a bullet for all you people. And it's a bar from the... It was the bar from the first Star Wars. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And well, speaking of...
Between 2008 and 2010, I really, you know, I love the movie Private Parts. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, right, right. Because you're going, well, that's my life. speaking of the bar from Star Wars, you and your parents saw Solo, A Star Wars Story?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was great. And I know there's a backlash against it. It didn't make as much money as they thought it would. My parents both liked it. But I will say this, when it was over, my dad's like, that was really good. And my dad goes, wasn't that guy too young to play Han Solo? And I was like, no, Dad, this is a prequel. This takes place before. He didn't even know that. He watched the entire movie and was like, oh.
Oh. Well, that makes sense then.
I got it now.
Did your mom like it too?
Yes, very much. All three of us thought it was very enjoyable.
Okay.
Right. And we saw it in the IMAX, so it was big and loud and fun. So, yeah.
Johnny Knoxville is going to try to kill himself again in a movie called Action Point. That's coming out this weekend.
Yeah, and it's based on a real place called Action Park. It was the worst amusement park, the most dangerous amusement park in the world, and it was in New Jersey, of all places. And there used to be, they used to call it Traction Park and Class Action Park.
Because the rides would break down and people would fall and whatever.
Oh, yeah, they'd fly out and smash their heads. And so he decided to make this movie about, he plays the guy who runs this place, and every stunt in the movie is performed by him. It's not fake. He broke a bunch of bones. He got four concussions while shooting the movie. At one point, he busted a part of his nose that he didn't know he had busted. And after he went to the hospital, the emergency room, he blew his nose and his left eye popped out of its socket.
Yeah, he's not kidding. I heard an interview with Howard Stern where of all the Jackass movies, nothing came close to the beating he took on this movie.
Yeah. And
how old? Johnny Knoxville's got to be 45 years old, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in his 40s. He's got three kids. He needs to stop.
Yeah, he's
got to
stop.
Yeah, but you know what? For my amusement, I can't wait. This is the movie, by the way, my parents and I are seeing.
Well, of course it is. What is Upgrade?
Upgrade is a science fiction thriller from the guys who made Saw.
About a guy who tries to use points to get to the first class? Because
that's
a better premise.
That would make a great movie. But it's a guy who, it's kind of in the future. He and his wife are mugged. He's left for dead and paralyzed. She's dead. A billionaire comes to him and says, hey, I have this technology. I have this chip that I can put into you that will make you walk again. And not only can he walk, but he has superhuman strength so he can rip off heads and break arms and bust necks. So he goes after the guys that killed his wife.
Okay. Sounds like a good time. Adrift.
Yeah. Based on a true story about a couple that goes out sailing, and they sail into one of the biggest hurricanes of all time. I'm not sure which one. And they go through the hurricane, and she wakes up. Her boyfriend is badly, badly injured. The boat is like completely demolished, and she has to survive and try to survive adrift on the water and keep her boyfriend alive and try and find help. Based on a true story, it's one of those survival, you know, movies that we get like three or four times a year. And I hear now, it's really good. Shailene Woodley's in it, and she's terrific.
She is great. Now, when you say she wakes up, she didn't sleep silently through the hurricane. She got knocked out or something?
I would imagine she got knocked out. Yes, yeah, I haven't seen the film, but I would imagine that the hurricane, she slept. Yeah, she slept through the hurricane.
Good morning, honey. Honey?
He's like, hey, can I get some help? She's like, sleeping.
Can I get some coffee first? And will you stop bleeding? Back to the Future, June 12th, AMC Rosemont 18. It's Zemeckis Fest. And where do you get tickets?
You can get tickets at amctheaters.com, and they're actually flying. I think we're going to sell out on this one. So if you... if you want to come out and see Back to the Future on the big screen, go to AMC Theaters and reserve your seats now, because this is going to be a big one. It's the second of our four-film summer of Zemeckis movies.
It's the great Nick DiGilio. If you want any of the crap from his office, just call him. And we're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
I'm friends with the monster.
Oh, he's a monster.
Monster.
I'm sitting there tweeting.
Monster.
Big, big, big tweeting.
Monster. I love you. It's a guy, but I love you.
In a world of bad news, here's what I want to alert you to. We'll post this at Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, at WGNRadio.com. In Keene, Texas, there's a kindergarten class there, and we'll put the video up, that starts every day by picking one of the kids in the class who lines up all the other kids, and they get a handshake and a hug, if they want a hug. Otherwise, just a handshake. But it's a good morning handshake and a hug, five-year-olds.
And they have to make eye contact.
Yes, they have to look each other in the eyes, say good morning, and it's a handshake or a hug. It's a very sweet video, and it'll make you feel good, and it'll renew your faith in the world before you get back to Trumplandia. Good morning, Chuck Todd.
Well, good morning, Mr. Cochran. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you? Caps won last night.
Thankfully. I'm learning about bouncy ice, bouncy pucks.
I'm going to give you hockey 101. I'm going to send you 10 things you need to know about hockey, and you'll be set.
I tell you this, I am a master at getting fired up about that third period during playoff hockey. I'm on this bandwagon. I'm driving the bus if you need me to. I'm in.
Can you explain offsides to me?
Yes, I can explain offsides. Oh, for gosh sakes. Come on. Like, basically every sport has to say, you know, it is interesting when you watch your hockeys and your soccers and all this stuff, and you realize really just baseball and football are the complicated sports. Every other sport has essentially the same strategy. Five or six guys all trying to score, right. Five or six guys trying to stop them from doing it.
Yeah, and usually one guy in the middle that's really important. In this case, exactly. Brandon Holtby. All right, so listen, good luck, Caps. Let's talk about a couple things here. I find it incredibly amusing and ironic that Rudy Giuliani, or what's left of him, is now talking about how the special investigation needs to be done by September 1st to protect the election. Now they're worried about protecting an election? Now?
Right, smarty. Exactly. Well, look, I think it's kind of funny that they're worried about it. I could make an argument that the best thing to happen to the president would be to have sort of the Mueller probe still bubbling up. Because I think the president has successfully used it as sort of a martyr's rallying cry.
Yep.
A little bit, at least with his own base. So, but for what it's worth, I do think that we're going to know the direction of this probe before August 1st, if you want to be honest. That's right. I believe that the next couple of moves that I assume Mueller's going to make are all going to be done before August 1st.
Are you surprised how leak-proof this thing has been? Or is there stuff on double-secret probation that you guys have heard that you're just not going to talk about?
I'm not surprised that Mueller's this leak-proof. If you compare it to the Ken Starr investigation, there's no comparison. Ken Starr leaked all the time. It was interesting, you know, when the Clinton White House would attack Ken Starr's team would fight back, and they wouldn't let a news cycle go unresponded to if there was a question about the probe, right? Mueller has taken the exact opposite tactic. They don't respond to anything. They won't. I mean, sometimes we're like, will you wave us off? They won't even do the wave off thing, wave on. You know, they just, he is, He's doing this so by the book that the only question I have about how he's going about doing this is he has taken a long time, which means he has essentially ceded the PR battle for now to the president. And, you know, the president is I think, a tremendous short-term player, mm-hmm. right, when it comes to anything. He is really smart about saving his skin for one more day, whatever that is. He knows how to buy a day and then buy a day and then buy a day. I mean, it's the history of his business career is just buying time until somehow he's convinced somebody to give him to take 10 cents on the dollar or whatever it is that he's negotiating. So the guy is really good at that. And that's the only question I have during this Mueller probe is, has he given the president too much time to sort of, you know, sow the field?
Yeah, you know how you get invited to a barbecue sometime in the summertime, and they're nice people, but you got other things you'd like to do, including maybe just zone out on the couch and watch hockey. And you hear the weather's a little dicey, and maybe the barbecue's going to get canceled, and then the sun pops through the clouds, barbecue's on. Is the White House glad June 12th may be happening again, or do they not want to go to this barbecue anyway?
Oh, I was thinking about where you're going, and obviously it's going to be Korean barbecue, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Kind of barbecue. Yeah, they're doing Korean barbecue. Is this stuff going to happen? I think, you know, the president wants it to happen, and Kim Jong-un wants it to happen. Do they want anything to come of it? Well, that's a different question. But the event, you know, we're dealing with two people who I think the event matters more than the substance. In the short term, right? Both for President Trump and for Kim Jong-un. I think, you know, for Kim Jong-un, getting a one-on-one meeting with the leader of the free world, something his father and grandfather couldn't get done, I think is something he wants, that spectacle, right? Oh, yeah. He wants that moment. And, you know, President Trump is an event guy. He is an event guy. And, you know, the big fear even among people his own team is the guy doesn't have bad meetings. You know, how much is he going to give? It's going to be a success no matter what happens and what's done in it, but what success is the president really counting after that meeting? So, you know, the substance and what gets done with it is one question. But as far as the spectacle of the event, oh, I think that's going
to
happen.
Speaking of an event guy, President Trump preparing to impose the tariffs on steel and aluminum imports from Canada, Mexico, and the EU. But I love the window. It's either going to be before the opening bell or at the close of trade later today. So how do you think that's going to affect everything?
As far as the one day, it's, you know, look, the stock market is, I feel bad for anybody that makes a living on the stock market in a short-term basis. If this is what you have to do, your full-time job. I mean, right now you are better off just plunking money into some long-term investment and not looking at it, because the president is playing with the economy. These tariffs are essentially, this is matches, and you play these EU tariffs. We think we can push the EU around, and we think we're too big of a customer for them to retaliate too badly. All of those things, and I think the president is playing with economic fire in a midterm election year. You know, he's already got soybean farmers upset with him. That's helped, for instance, a Democrat solidify her standing right now in North Dakota, where a bunch of farmers who are pretty conservative are not happy about these tariffs. So I tell you, I think the president is playing. I don't think he realizes how dangerous these tariffs could turn into for the economy.
Well, that's how maddening, right?
He is fully realizing.
That's how maddening it is, because he doesn't realize it and he doesn't care to take the time to understand the possible outcome here.
Yeah, I think he has an old view of what tariffs are about. I mean, it is interesting to hear him. I mean, he sounds like a 1950s or 60s labor leader sometimes when he talks about tariffs. And there's a reason why both parties gave up using tariffs as a tool, as a tactic, the way he wants to do it a long time ago.
I would have liked to see the president comment on the disaster that continues to be Puerto Rico, or about the insanity of Roseanne's statements. But instead, we got a tweet yesterday about a guy named Dan Donovan, a Republican from Staten Island, and an endorsement that said he voted for the tax cuts. He's my guy. Dan Donovan voted against the tax cuts three times. Who's advising the president? And does he listen to anybody? I mean, these are unforced errors.
he listens. Look, he knew that his job, he bought the idea that he had to help Donovan in his primary. He's getting, he has a Republican primary against a very somewhat Trumpian kind of congressman, a guy named Michael Grimm. So, and this is what happens, you know, these political operatives are desperate for sort of a Trump seal of approval in a Republican primary, and they'll convince him to do it, but he doesn't do any research on the race. So this is how things like this, he ends up doing, you get the Trump endorsement, but you have to brace yourself for whatever the unforced error is. Maybe he doesn't pronounce your name right. Maybe he forgets what race you're running in. Maybe it's, you know, he praises you for something you didn't do, like the tax cut. So that is sort of that's the downside when you're courting President Trump for help in your local race. He doesn't really care about local politics. He'll do it, but he doesn't really know it, and he could cause you embarrassment if you're not careful.
The two things you're always going to hear from the White House is the president is going to talk about his very good friend who he met 15 minutes ago. And everything out of the White House is, we've been very clear on this, as we've clearly stated. If they say the word clear, you're being hypnotized. Keep it in mind. Hey, last thing. What do we know about Melania? Is she okay?
I don't know. And I am not. I am one of these people that I'm not pushing or I'm not trying to find out.
Right.
I think that she wants her privacy after a medical condition. She didn't ask to be in the public square, so I get it. And she didn't want to share her medical history with others. I feel bad if this is a serious medical condition, but one, you know, the idea that people are speculating all over the place, that's probably pretty unfair for her anyway. So how do you prove a negative, right? How do you have to go in there? Oh no, here's what really happened. I kind of feel like she's in a no-win situation, so I'm not poking around.
What am I likely to see on? I understand that. What am I likely to see on Meet the Press Sunday?
You know, I can't imagine we're not going to do anything beyond going through how the president treats this Russia investigation. Mm-hmm. It is a career prep.
Keep in mind, the overriding concern of the administration is to protect the election. That's what they want to do. Kidding me.
You know it. It's the 2016 election they're trying to protect.
Yeah, sure it is. Exactly. Hey, by the way, when you watch hockey, pay special attention to our friend Doc Emmerich. I know how much you love sports, and I know what a baseball guy
fantastic.
You are.
Fantastic. No. I do. You know, I know enough. By the way, here's the biggest news that's happening in Washington today. The Stanley Cup is coming to the Meet the Press set.
Oh, you'll love it, dude. You'll love it. Here's what you don't do. Don't kiss it. You don't know where it's been. That trophy is traveling.
I'm aware. I think it's funny that the guy who takes it with him has white gloves, and I'm thinking, you know what's been inside that thing?
That trophy, if it could talk, good Lord, the stories it could tell.
Oh, Lord.
Doc's on with us again tomorrow, by the way, everybody, at 9:10. Chuck, thank you.
Nice. Thank you. All right.
Chuck Todd, Meet the Press, MTP Daily, the 1947 podcast, and more. I'm telling you, the Stanley Cup, it's the greatest trophy in sports. It's been everywhere. It's been loved. It's been abused. Oh, yeah. And it's been everything in between.
Do they, and I mean this seriously, they clean it though, right? Like after each player takes it home,
yeah.
I'm sure they polish it up. And
yeah, but when you're in the middle of an event, like the three times we've had it in the last 10 years, you're in the middle of an event and there's a line of people and somebody sneaks a smooch. Well, just kiss a stranger walking down the street. Does that seem like a good idea?
I remember I started to kiss it, and you went, no, no. It was like the slow motion, don't do it.
Yeah, I threw myself between.
Yeah, they actually clean it with Malort.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, that's how you clean it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll kill anything, isn't it?
Joe has a lot of fun facts. Yeah.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
712, the news cycle is such that, you know, the story is here today, it's gone tomorrow. Even when they are epic stories, you don't think about Bill Cosby until you think about Bill Cosby. One of the best journalists in television is Kate Snow. And Kate Snow has an exclusive sit-down with Andrea Constand. This is the woman that finally brought justice to Bill Cosby. And Kate Snow from NBC joins us now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve.
Nice to talk to you again.
You too. Thank you for the compliment.
Senior national correspondent. You're not old enough to be a senior national correspondent.
That does just mean I'm old, right?
All right. So the Cosby story, white hot, and then suddenly it's gone because we look at the next shiny thing.
Right.
But
right.
Is he going to jail? Update us on that part of the story. What do we know?
Right. What we know is that the sentencing will be in September, and he faces, because of the three counts that he was found guilty of, he faces up to 30 years in prison. Will he go to jail? I don't know, because sentencing hasn't happened yet, but he's out on bail at his home right now, you know, being closely watched. And by the way, he has said he will appeal the verdict. But Andrea Constand is the woman that caused all this. I think that's what people maybe forget. She's the woman whose case could go forward as a criminal case because it wasn't, you know, under the statute of limitations, it wasn't too old of a case. And she's really, you know, the person who led to his downfall, his fall from grace.
How tough was it to get her to talk after this? She doesn't seem like she wants to be a public person.
No, she's a very intensely private person, actually. She's a wonderful person. She's very serene. She's one of those people who's into wellness and fitness and holistic medicine. She lives a very healthy lifestyle. She lives in Toronto and is a massage therapist now. But she wanted to talk at this point and decided to talk with me, I think in part because of all the other reporting that I had done about Bill Cosby. 3 years ago, I sat with 27 accusers of Bill Cosby in one room, you might remember, on Dateline. And Andrea had seen that. And Andrea has, you know, she's sort of been forced to be silent for 13 years as this wound its way through first a civil case and then two criminal trials. She couldn't talk. And so when this verdict came, we knew that maybe now she could finally speak out. And I sent her a letter and watched her in the courtroom. She saw me in the courtroom and sort of exchanged a glance with me. And next thing I knew, she said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to speak.
Kate, I think it's a good morning to you, first of all. A big fan of your work. I think it's a very brave move. Of course, not her fault. But did you see in the course of the interview, Kate, that this kind of recurring theme of blaming yourself or scared to speak up because she thought she did something wrong?
She says that, Andrea. She describes, this morning we played a clip on the Today Show of her describing him giving, Bill Cosby giving her three blue pills that he called friends. And then describing not being able to move, not being able to speak out or scream as he assaulted her. And after that, the first thing she thinks is, what did I do? Which is what so many survivors say, right? They think, what did I do wrong? She felt shame. She felt like no one would believe her. She told no one. She went home, had a good shower, cried, and went to work.
And if not for the window of opportunity being such that she could be the person that helped bring justice to all these other women, as you say, it never would have happened. But we have this false notion of closure, like this is over for these women now.
It's not over.
It's not, right?
Right. And you know, this is the only one, Andrea's case is the only one that has led to a conviction. And I should note that Bill Cosby denies all the other allegations, which there are more than 60 now against him. But Andrea said she's come to peace with what happened, but it will never leave her. She ultimately did tell her mother a year after the attack. She told her mom. She told authorities. That's how the next 13 years happened, because she did come forward and tell first Toronto police and then Pennsylvania police, and that led to ultimately this criminal case. But it's a long and twisted tale. We get into it tomorrow night on Dateline, how this sort of wound its way through the court system. She could have given up at any point, right? She could have said she got a civil settlement at one point. She got $3 million from Bill Cosby. She could have gone home. But she kept fighting because of all the other women. She felt like she's the one who could carry the water.
Yeah, and I think people, you know, it's really, really hard to understand the juxtaposition between the Bill Cosby we knew as a celebrity and America's father figure and a serial rapist, which is exactly what he is.
It is.
Well, and that's the thing, right? It's hard for America to wrap their head around it, but that's why it's really important for you to see the kind of pain that he caused. And I have nothing but respect for the fact that she's willing to stand up and talk.
Yeah, she's doing it, again, for all these other women, and not just for the women. She says it's not just for women who were assaulted or say they were assaulted by Bill Cosby. She's doing it for all the right. other women out there who may have been assaulted at some point in their life and feel like they can't speak up. She wants other women to know you can speak up. You can find justice. And by the way, she wants to help now promote teaching in school to kids about consent. And that's such an important conversation as a parent, I think, for you know, young people to have a better understanding of what's right and what's wrong.
It's tomorrow night on Dateline. What time?
It's 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. in Chicago, 9 p.m. Central Time.
And everybody should see this. Kate Snow, great work as always by you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks for being on. Thanks, Kate Snow from NBC News.
Great. I'm very anxious to see that interview, too.
Same here. And by the way, throughout the show, I may end up apologizing for my voice, which has been in and out for the past several days. And I don't know why.
Oh, overworked.
Allergies.
I think it is allergies because yeah. My eyes have been itching.
Everybody's got it right now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird. So anyway, sorry, my voice is weird.
Peter Brady.
Eric Adelson is joining us next. How are you?
I'm good. It's a week of apologies, right? You're supposed to be apologizing. Are you going to be apologizing to the president?
It's a good point. He deserves an apology for my voice.
He does deserve an apology.
My voice could be a problem for him, and I should say I'm sorry.
It could. There's a double standard here.
The Steve Cochran Show.
/7:23 with a very limited edition Centennial Blue Chevy Silverado for me and all of us here at 720 WJN. You had a plug you needed to do, didn't you?
Oh, just want to tell everybody that world champion David Ross is going to be at the Printers Row Lit Fest on June 9th, and tickets are still available. You can get them at PrintersRowLitFest.org.
We might have him on for that.
Oh, is he coming on?
Okay. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you may not know this, but Sandberg in college majored in Silverado.
I heard she, I thought it was a minor, but.
Oh, maybe it was a minor. Was it a major? It doesn't matter.
It was major.
100 years of Chevy truck history. Do you know the backstory of Chevy? Eric Adelson, do you know Chevy?
No.
Okay.
I've heard of them, yeah.
Chevy was co-founded by an actual guy named Chevrolet, Louis Chevrolet. He was a race car driver and the founder of GM, Bill Durant, in 1911. In 1918, Durant buys out Chevrolet and it becomes a General Motors company. The Silverado comes along much later, but the grand history of Chevy trucks dates through the century. 1929, they had the first light delivery truck with a closed cab. Otherwise, you were just driving down the road with no doors.
1929?
29.
Wow.
Yeah. And it would bring you your milk and your blocks of ice. My grandmother used to tell me about blocks of ice.
Yeah, that's what we used to do, Steve. That's when you chip, if you wanted a cold drink, you chipped the ice off the block into little cubes.
That's what they call an ice box.
Did you have a giant ice cube tray? That you had to have other people lift.
You have to put those blocks in it. It took up a lot of space.
I bet it did. And who had to help you break it, right? Where you had to twist the tray?
Everybody had chisels back then.
Yeah, I bet they did. If you didn't carry a chisel, you weren't a man. You fast forward to 1999, and that's when you get the Silverado. The Silverado is kind of the baby truck at that point, but it has bloomed into the finest in the line. All the GM trucks are terrific, but the Silverado is something special. And I believe, Sandberg, you're going to be driving us, is it next week?
I think so, yeah. I'm going to do some mom stuff in it.
You get to drive it?
I do.
Ah, cool.
And then it's going to be mine.
Uh-oh. I don't know if they knew that part.
You do have to give it back. How are we giving it away, and what do I need to do to win, and why would I procrastinate and put it off?
You shouldn't put it off. You should go to WGNradio.com/contests. You can enter to win.
It's that easy?
It's that easy.
There must be a hook. There must be something else I have to do.
That's all you have to do, but you
should
consider.
Stand on 1 foot?
You should register to win, but then you should also go buy one, and then you can have his and hers at your house.
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
That way you don't have to say we have to take your Chevy Silverado because we're going to...
What goes with Centennial Blue? What other color would I get?
I would get white.
Or red.
Sure.
That's a little bit too patriotic for me.
Oh, right.
But
Not that you're not patriotic. You just wouldn't do it in your trucks.
You're right, though, because when you think Chevy, you already are patriotic.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, we have a red brick house, so no one could have a red car in my house because that would be really too much color.
Ah, yes. So. You must accessorize your entire life from the driveway to the couch to the bedroom and back.
That Centennial Blue will look amazing.
You like the Centennial Blue instead of the white.
Well,
you haven't seen it, right?
It's a gorgeous blue.
Oh, you got to see this.
But I have blue eyes, too, so I feel like the truck matches. I like to get navy blue nail polish as well.
It's like win-win-win.
It's not like you, Eric. You like the navy blue nail polish.
Only on my toes. Yeah.
On a side
really
note.
A dark blue.
It's dark blue, yeah.
Cobalt.
At the Boyle household, we are getting our driveway sealed today. And as you guys know, I have the half-circle driveway that everybody uses to turn around, mm-hmm. and it makes me so angry. Mm-hmm. So the little stakes are going to be up with the little twine at the end of each end, and nobody can use my driveway for 48 hours.
Ah, that'll be fun.
Why don't you put those tire things they have at the rental car places?
It's just shred tires.
Yeah. Hey, here's an idea. Back up now.
Yeah. It makes me so
angry. You driveway pirate.
Yeah.
So. I still don't understand why people think it's okay to pull into a half-circle driveway.
I don't know. Why don't you come up
to the door and ask for food?
Ours is wider. I know. Paul Rennie, our boss, has said he's going to come to my house and drive.
Yeah, just to drive you crazy.
Yeah. So, anyway.
727, Eric is here. What is your company's name, Eric?
AL Media.
And what do you specialize in? What's your thing?
Other than talking on the phone and drinking coffee, we do electoral politics around the country.
You had a great story out of Georgia last week.
Yeah.
What's another race we should pay attention to?
Well, we have the Iowa governor's race primary is on Tuesday. And there was a remarkable development last week. Our candidate's name is Fred Hubble. He's the front runner. Fred Hubble.
Bob and Connie Hubble's boy, Fred. Yes.
He's a great guy. There's about seven people running in this primary. The number two challenger, state senator, who there was a Des Moines Register story about sexual harassment allegations against him, this other opponent, not our client, and he dropped out of the race a day later, mm-hmm. which just shows you how swift this Me Too stuff moves.
You can't mess with it.
You cannot mess with it. And he tried to kind of parse it and say, well, this was stuff that didn't happen in the workplace. It should be a teaching moment for all men. And it was sort of, the things you did, you should have known not to do.
I completely agree. And you've said this over and over again, Steve. If you have to question crossing the line, you've already crossed it.
Yes,
and
did I cross the line?
That's what frustrates me with Me Too. It is such a movement. And now so many women, as Kate Snow just said too, are coming forward and saying, hey, I had an experience just like this. And for people who reportedly or allegedly don't realize what they have done to say, well, everybody, it's like running a red light and saying, oh, well, everybody does it.
Right. Sure. And this guy tried to part, you know, he did the this is wrong and I'm not going to question it, but he did the butt.
There's no yeah,
oh,
but.
No. Here comes the butt.
Yeah, there's no yeah, but here.
Don't you think that they should be proactive with this? If somebody is accused and multiple women are coming forward with proof or stories, you know, just to say, you know what, I'm going to step back. Or I'm going to step away from
this. Well, that's the right thing to do. Unless,
as opposed to making the accuser the victim.
Well, unless it's not true.
Agreed.
And well, if it's not true, then you do have a duty to defend yourself.
Of course. And in this environment, I mean, again, it was interesting. I was having a conversation with my 16-year-old daughter about this. Is when does it go too far? When it swings the other way?
Right.
And maybe an innocent or not as guilty man gets caught up in it. And she said, you know, she made a really fascinating point, which is like, that's unfortunate, but it's too bad because for decades, innocent women have been caught up in it, and it's been their problem. So if there's casualties in that, then that's a price you have
to pay. That's the truth of physics now, right? It's going to be a little imbalanced the other way until it becomes what it should be in general.
And your other point, too, to say a Mike Madigan or somebody who perhaps knew something like what this was going on and trying to explain it away at this point. Bad move.
Can't be convinced that Springfield has the best HR system in the country with an alleged IG who's looking at this stuff, right?
Right.
Is that what's happening?
Apparently, but the IGs knew. I mean, the job was unfilled for over a year.
Yeah.
And so this person's new. There's got to be a backlog of cases. They're probably learning where the bathrooms are in the Capitol, let alone how to do their jobs.
Today at 1 o'clock, as Marianne Ahern reported yesterday, there is going to be a press conference where the next sexual harassment Me Too/victim will be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
The alleged perpetrator.
Right, the accused.
We hear two names over and over again. I won't mention either one. But that news likely would leak before one. But if not, it'll come out at 1 o'clock today. Both names are prominent. Mm-hmm. So
it's there.
So there you go. That's your little brief, quick wrap up. You got anything on the Roseanne story?
Well, I you know, it's interesting. The critical writing about that show, I thought was fascinating because they had this patina, this exterior gloss of being politically correct, but underneath there was this layer of kind of a little bit of hatred, misogyny, and you know, Emily Nussbaum was a great TV critic at the New Yorker.
Yeah.
Writes amazing stuff. She had pointed it out. There was an episode, I don't know, it was the second or third, where they fall asleep on the couch and they say, "What did we miss?" And they make a comment, "Oh, we missed all those ABC shows about people of color." And Roseanne says, "Oh, we didn't miss anything. They're just like us. We get it." Like in this kind of eye roll. Mm-hmm. And Emily's point was, in the attempt to sort of say, "Oh, we're open-minded and we're accepting and we're not discriminatory," they're basically completely dismissive of anything that isn't kind of that middle-class white America.
Yeah.
So the unfortunate thing is, you know, my brother, as you guys know, works in Hollywood. He said 1,000 people are going to lose their job because of
that. Is that right?
Unfortunate.
I said, that many? He goes, yeah, you look at, you know, just the sort of outer rings, PR,
the
marketing,
the crew.
Cast, crew, studio, post-production, everything.
He said, well, I don't think people understand. It's a freelance industry.
Yeah.
You go job to job to job to job, and when a job, when you get locked into a hit, that's a good day. Mm-hmm. Because you're going
to
work for
and
one.
And another point, to Iger's credit, I don't, you know, it wasn't that hard a thing to do, but that's the number one show in America. And ABC was struggling for a hit
as the network
show, as the networks all are.
I wish Roseanne would tweet an apology to everybody who she's affected job-wise.
Did you guys happen to, you know, she blamed Ambien?
Yeah.
Did you see the tweet that Ambien
Tremendous.
Put out?
Yeah. The company that makes Ambien said there are numerous side effects to prescription medication, but there is no known incidence of Ambien causing racism.
Right. It's one of the great PR.
Tremendous.
PR
just tremendous.
Like, mic drop. Good.
Tom Arnold was on, I think, CNN, a couple other places last night. And he said Roseanne was angling for this because she hated doing the show. I love Tom.
Oh,
he's been a friend for years.
No.
I don't buy it for an instant.
I don't either.
She has been out of her mind for the last 24 hours. Well, she's been out of her mind since I knew her. But she's been out of her mind for the last 24 hours about playing off that she's a victim. She just said one thing, and she has a lifetime of working for minorities. I'm telling you, this is the downside to Twitter for racists. Mm-hmm. Your racist tweets in the past, they don't get erased.
It's like true serum.
Still out there.
You know, the other, I don't know if we have a second here, Steve, but the other point I would make on it, and you know, it's an obvious one, but for Trump, the president of the United States, to equate, you know, the criticism that he's had with this overt racism just shows how either stupid or racist he is. And an insensitivity from the president of the United States to not understand the distinction between satire and criticism and overt racism is really offensive.
I think it's the core problem with the presidency, period. I think historians will look back and go, there wasn't a decision made, there wasn't a day that wasn't about him as opposed to being about the country. And you could pick any president of the first 44, whether you loved him or hated him, at some point they had to decide, am I going to do this for the country or am I going to do this to protect me? And if you get the job, you have to do the part where you protect the country. And he doesn't do it. He hasn't done it once.
You know, if you go to any of the great Lincoln museums, particularly the one in Springfield, yeah, where they have all these cartoons of the way Lincoln was satired viciously, racistly, sure, horribly. Can you imagine Abraham Lincoln saying, "I demand an apology"?
Oh, right.
You know, I mean? Or Barack Obama, you know, for the things that were said about
exactly
him.
Exactly. That's a really good point,
you know,
with the satirical cartoons.
Well,
that they had.
Well, one of the most reviled presidents in history, obviously, was Richard Nixon. You could make the argument, factually, that Richard Nixon extended the Vietnam War and thousands of people were killed because of it. But Richard Nixon in 1960, when the election, again, you could factually argue was stolen, said, "I can't put the country through this kind of constitutional crisis. The election is final. Kennedy is the president." And when the S hit the fan in 1974 and the senators of note walked in and said, "You've lost the Senate," he resigned. I think we're headed for a constitutional crisis like we haven't even begun to think of yet, whenever this report comes out, because this is the guy who thought he was going to lose the election in 2016 and started as the whole thing is rigged conversation ahead of time. What do you think he's going to say about the report?
Well, and here's what troubles me. I mean, the stuff that Trey Gowdy did yesterday was commendable. You know, Trey Gowdy, who's a Trump supporter, very conservative, came out and said he didn't know what he was talking about in this FBI spy and all this stuff that the intelligence doesn't back it up. That, you know, Trey Gowdy, who's a former prosecutor himself, was doing this. The thing that I find troubling is Gowdy's not running for re-election. And again, the only Republicans that will criticize him
are the guys that are leaving.
Are the guys that are leaving. And the guys that are still
unless it's Paul Ryan, who's lost his voice.
Well, but he's not running again. So,
but Paul Ryan, I'm saying, isn't even stepped up to criticize now.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Jeff Flakes and the Gowdys and the McCains. Yeah. But I just, it's going to take the courage of those Republicans, particularly in the Senate, to say enough is enough. And questioning the institutions of American democracy for your own political gain are undemocratic and un-American and have to stop.
Headlines next. More on this, too, coming up on 720 WGN.
I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Eric Edelstein's here. We're talking some politics. I checked with the musical director, John DeCoss, on how your song is doing.
Yeah. Still cooking.
Because I know you went to your mom and said, my brother has always been your favorite, but guess what, Mom? I'm getting a song.
Yeah. And she said, where's the song? You're a liar. I was with her over Memorial Day. She said, you know, I love you, but where's your song?
Because your brother, you should explain, is a big Hollywood mogul.
Well, he's a successful actor. He's been on several shows. He acts, he writes, he produces. He's going to be on a new NBC show come the fall called I Feel Bad, which is a half-hour sitcom.
So, but honestly, isn't Mom impressed with the fact that you're one of the 20 most influential people in politics?
No, she goes like, why couldn't you work for the State Department or do something?
You're a mover and a shaker, Eric.
Well, the good news is DeCoss says it is the next song that he will be doing.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow, I'm honored. Yeah. It's going to be worth the wait. I'm pretty
no
sure.
Question.
Yeah. Now, he does like one every 2 years.
He does.
Absolutely, it should be worth the wait.
Now, you know, when Pat Brady got his song, he enjoyed it so much that if you call Pat, you have to call back like 9 times because he wants to hear the entire song. So he'll answer, go, call me back and wait 30 seconds.
Make it my ringtone. Can I make it my ringtone?
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right. So we mentioned the Roseanne thing, and we'd like to put the Roseanne thing away and move on if at all possible. I see what's going on with Pompeo and the guy that amounts to Kim Jong-un's right-hand man. In any other world, wouldn't the guy who's in charge of North Korean security be an international war criminal and be taken into custody immediately?
Yeah, apparently he's dining at the finest restaurants in New York City at this point. I mean, that's what's sort of troubling is, you know, Chuck Todd made a great point on how both Kim and Trump want the spectacle of the meeting more than an outcome. And, you know, what Trump is such an idiot about is that this sort of validation of this criminal rogue regime is what they've wanted for 50 years.
And every one of these meetings is a win.
It's a win.
Meet with Pompeo, it's a win. The photo op with Pompeo, it's another win.
He wants to be validated on the international stage as a legitimate head of state. And, you know, the guy starves his people. He's destroyed his country. And, you know, he's done these horrible things to his opponents, poisoning people, sicking dogs on them, flamethrowers, all this kind of stuff. And so this notion that an American president, the so-called leader of the free world, is going to validate this rogue regime with some summit where they're going to shake hands and say, I looked into his eye and what a great guy he is. I mean, it's pretty outrageous. Now, having said that, I'm all for talking. And if we can do something about lessening the threat of nuclear war, oh my gosh, we're all for that. But there's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it.
Well, the concern, and Chuck brought this up as well, the concern is you come out of this meeting with what amounts to a headline for a Trump win as opposed to something that was worth the meeting to begin with. And I don't know how you get there because even a guy like Pompeo, I was thinking about this yesterday, Pompeo seems to be a very qualified guy. But you don't understand what it's like to be Secretary of State until you're Secretary of State.
Right.
There's no on-the-job, there's nothing short of on-the-job training that you can get until you get it. So he's had the gig for, what, a month, month and a half? He's already had 2 meetings with Kim Jong-un.
Right.
And now he's the front man for whatever Trump's going to do in the room with the other guy.
Well, and the other problem is, you know, so much of diplomacy, so much of these international discussions have to do with protocol and have to be with understandings, have to be with your word that these diplomats and these negotiators can promise, and that you have the full faith and credit of the United States. How do you believe anything that this president would say or promise, or that anybody works for him, when he can change his mind and say? You have reports from the White House itself where they say, we make agreements, and then we don't know if we're going to wake up in the morning and everything's going to be undone because this madman has tweeted.
He took a shot at Jeff Sessions again yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Again.
Exactly.
I mean, this is your AG.
That could be another arm of the obstruction of justice.
Sure.
Because, again, do the math, kids. Jeff Sessions could not have said to Donald Trump in the job interview, I may recuse myself for something that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
He had yet been held to account for his meetings with the Russians in the campaign that may have looked shady enough where he had to step down. He doesn't have a time machine.
No, he doesn't. And look, I just, and Chuck Todd said it great. You know, this guy's a master of the one day survival, one day change the subject. What's so troubling is it's all so corrosive to American democracy.
Right.
It's so corrosive to the institutions to make up lies about the FBI trying to infiltrate his campaign, make up lies about career investigators like Mueller, make up lies about there being no collusion. And it, what's undermining democratic institutions. And if every one of your opponent is a traitor, if every institution that looks into you is fake or false, including the media, the FBI, the CIA, the U.S. Attorney's Office, the Justice Department, then what do we believe in? What do we have to hold on to? And that's the legacy of Trump that I'm most concerned about.
Totally agree.
Absolutely. Very well said.
You were going to talk about the mayor?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the mayor's race, too. I mean, I know it's still early and whatnot, but there's so many candidates.
Yeah.
We talked with Marianne Ahern yesterday a little bit and saying that Paul Vallis might be the dark horse in this race to really challenge Mayor Emanuel, maybe Gary McCarthy's popularity, or the early, maybe him being one of the first to throw his hat in the ring has kind of waned a little bit. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's too early to see who's going to emerge. You know, I do think in the early stages it's sort of advantage Rahm just because of the cluster of all these candidates. Sure. Some of them's going to have to emerge from this pile. I think we're kind of seeing the Oppo dump, the stories on Commissioner Gaynor. There's a story on Lori they put out today.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm smart enough to handicap yet which one of these folks emerge. I know I do think Lori has the most profile and sort of the demographic background.
Isn't there a charisma problem with her?
Could be. I mean, I've known her a long time. She's very smart. She's very fearless. She's never run for office. She's never really been the
first. But how's she going to be on camera? How's she going to be in a commercial? How's she going to have any pop need to sell in 2018?
I'm less concerned about that than can she raise the money? And, you know,
can she?
I don't know. And I think that's going to be the key. You know, there was this talk of these other candidates saying we're going to all just focus our fire on Rahm and not go after each other. But that's not the way the structure of this thing works. Someone's got to get into the runoff. If you assume Rahm is in the runoff, the mayor's in the runoff,
right?
Then it's a battle for number two.
Mm-hmm.
And so these other candidates are going to have to distinguish themselves against each other. And I think it's way too early to say who's the front runner in that primary.
Right.
Eric Edelson's here. Before we run out of time, anything else on your agenda before I bring up one last point?
No.
I think I've said all I should say.
All right. No more questions. Here's the only thing I want to mention. Sure. And this is full disclosure, I guess, to some extent. Bridget Gaynor is a friend of the program, and we like her a lot. Never tried to hide that at all. Having said that, the story as it's written in the Sun-Times, I don't know how anybody gets that many tickets. Those tickets have been paid.
Yes.
And that's all well and good. But whatever Oppo research led to that story being put out, not necessarily fair, not necessarily specifically germane to the race. But when you live a public life, you have to answer for things, and this is one that she'll have to deal with going forward if, in fact, she gets in. So before you leave the building, mm-hmm. is Bridget Gaynor going to run for mayor?
I don't know. I mean, I think she's definitely considering it, and I think the fact of that story, the story behind the story, is obviously somebody else is worried about her running, so they're trying to put those kind of stories out. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I haven't talked to her in a while. I know she was seriously considering it, where her state of mind is right now. It was anybody's guess.
We should qualify it by, too, as you just said, too, all the tickets were paid. These are not expired violations.
Right. But somebody's worried about her, clearly.
Yes. If you were advising her specifically, just based based on the surface stuff that we know? Is this a good time for her to get in or not? No, I'm not talking about this, the ticket story. Just in general with all the other candidates involved?
No, I don't think summer is a great particular time. I mean, obviously, you have to put the mechanics of a campaign together. You have to hire staff and raise money and all that. But in terms of formally being a candidate, I mean, I would wait. I mean, so much attention is on this midterm election 2018, the governor's race here and the other down ballot races. I don't see any advantage to making a big announcement in the summer.
And if you wait till after the election, is that too long?
It depends on if you've been able to raise money and if you're in a position to do it. Sometimes a shorter campaign is better than a longer campaign.
Hit them hard.
But you've got to have the resources to compete.
Mm-hmm. What's it going to cost to run for mayor?
Well, I mean, I think for these challengers, it's a different pay scale than what the mayor will spend. But I think any one of them, to be serious, is going to have to spend just in this runoff, in the initial phase, $2 to $5 million is just sort of the price of entry.
Rahm has about $1 million in his that he's raised so far. The closest is Gary McCarthy with $200,000.
Isn't Rahm sitting like on five or six?
Yeah, I think Rahm's got more than that. I think he just raised another $1 million. But yeah.
Just now while we were talking?
Just as we were talking. Wow. Oh, wait, there's another one. There's another.
Yeah. He will be in later this hour. Yeah. Nice to see you as always.
Good to be seen. Thanks
My
for
best to your family.
You too.
And apologize to the president.
I'll do that.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9.
Steve Cochran, good morning to you.
So here's the thing, Dean. Todd Manley and all of Todd Manley's little Todd Manley people.
Yes.
They've done an amazing job putting this new facility together. I assume you've seen
Todd's title now. He's got like 15 titles.
He likes to go by Poobah. Yeah, he likes Poobah.
Grand Poobah?
Yeah, Grand Poobah. So the new place looks fabulous.
Yes, mm-hmm. I've been there.
And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, we have to leave the Tribune Tower because the people that bought the Tribune Tower are like the bad guys from Harry Potter. So they're kicking us out. Yep. So we go to the new place, and it's beautiful. So there's a lot of frenzy here to try to pack up the radio station and move it. Part of it's already over there, the sales weasels and people like that. But the entire seventh floor where the offices for WGN here at the Tribune Tower have been.
It's pandemonium.
It's just bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
It looks like a war zone. When I came off the elevator today, there were two empty boxes that it looks like someone had maybe thought, well, I'm going to pack stuff in this, maybe not, just left them. Turned upside
and it's
down
that way all over the building because the newspaper
everywhere.
Is leaving as well.
Everybody's gone. It's a ghost town.
It is a ghost town.
Yeah, and if you walk in from the loading dock below, there's giant plates of glass that say, you know, leave these for pickup. It's just the whole place. It's like a bizarre scene now.
Crazy.
So having said all of that, this beautiful new facility, here's the one thing I don't understand. Why are we moving trash cans?
Agree.
Why are we taking trash cans to the new place?
Okay, I'm not moving mine. It has a big crack in it. Do you think I'm going to get a new one?
Nope.
IKEA.
So I got to bring my own?
It just seems
BYOT.
The symbolism of moving old trash cans to the fancy new space in the new building, it seems wrong to me.
I asked about it yesterday, and I'm told there are no waste paper baskets in the new build, in our new facility.
I think it's cute you call them waste paper baskets.
I mean, I almost feel like I'll spring for them. I'll buy waste paper baskets for everybody as long as you don't take your nasty old trash cans in.
You're such a giver.
Will you get me one, please?
Hey, I don't want mine at my desk are very nice. Are nice and clean, so.
I've grown attached to mine as well.
I'm happy to take mine.
20% off at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Why would you be attached to your trash can?
Well, you know, when you practice shooting paper wads in, you get mm-hmm. used to that circumference.
You
and
know
that's
the
what,
feel?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Remember the movie Night Shift where Michael Keaton broke down the word prostitute on a blackboard? Mm-hmm. On a blackboard. Let me break this down for you. Trash can. Which part of those two words seems to be something you don't want to put in your new space?
You have no appreciation for aesthetics.
Okay, when you're a real estate agent to the stars. When you buy a new home or people move into a new home, do they bring the trash cans from the old house?
I advise people to bring their own trash cans.
Okay, I'm gonna say this, and I'm sure the texts are gonna flood
right
in.
On my business card.
How about conserving paper and just doing everything online?
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen.
Okay, right. Sorry.
Yeah, crazy talk by you. Dean was hanging out with Christian Bale yesterday. As far as we know, Christian Bale didn't yell at him.
No, it was a very, very nice encounter. But what was even more nice yesterday, I exclusively interviewed Christian Bale yesterday at the Wintrust Bank building on South LaSalle Street, 231, I think.
Was he going to the ATM or something?
South LaSalle Street. They had a big business lunch there yesterday.
Oh, good.
And
I'll tell
you about the charity and everything, but the president and CEO of Wintrust Bank, we're waiting to do the interview, Ed Wemmer, comes up to me and says, hello, welcome, very nice, and tells me how much he enjoys the moron entertainment segment every day. This is the president and CEO of one of America's most prominent.
You say that out loud? That doesn't seem right.
That he enjoys the segment every day. So, Ed, thank you very much.
Yes, Ed, thank you. And thank you to Wintrust. They're great partners.
They are fantastic partners. I've lived in this city all my life. I thought I knew the ins and outs of all the cool places. This Wintrust Bank building, it's formerly the Continental Bank building on South LaSalle Street, is one of the most stunning buildings that I've ever seen
in my
life.
I've been in there. It's very cool.
Unbelievable.
Incredible architecture.
And I talked to Batman there.
More on entertainment is sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. We got a Roseanne update, a Kim Kardashian. You know, by the way, I know we're going to talk about this when we come back. But Kim Kardashian walking into the White House, the ultimate reality star walking in to see the guy who became president because he was a reality star. It's like, how upside down is the world?
I say that she just showed up yesterday for measurements for when she becomes first lady.
Or president.
Or president.
Riot Fest lineup is out. Some pretty good bands coming. Brigitte Nielsen violating the laws of nature and Kendrick Lamar coming up as well.
Calling his name, oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720. Oh, 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 oh.
Dean is here. I got tickets, Dean, for Avenue Q.
Oh, thanks.
Playing, well, not for you. It's playing now through June 30th at the Metropolis, one of my favorite theaters. Done stand up there many, 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 many times.
It's very intimate.
It is. Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights. How would you describe Avenue Q?
It's an R-rated puppet show, like R-rated Muppets.
Entertaining.
Talking about social issues of the day. Very clever songs. Very South Park-like. I think it's very South Park-like.
Avenue Q, laugh out loud, puppet-filled comedy, mature audiences, following a group of 20-something seeking their purpose in life.
It's the most fun you can have cramming your arm up the back of a puppet.
I don't know that that's true, but that's a good sell. MetropolisArts.com.
Once again, the president and CEO of Wintrust.
You're listening to Moron Entertainment.
Love the second.
Any questions, sir? 847-577-2121 is the number.
Working up some fiduciary comedy for you.
Oh, fiduciary. Do they work that into the puppets? MetropolisArts.com. Let's do this. Seventh puppet to call now is a big winner.
Puppet voice? Do you need a puppet voice?
Yeah, call up and do a puppet voice. These people calling up with Joe. Hello, I'm caller three.
Hi.
All right, we got a lot to get to here, so let's start with Christian Bale.
Christian Bale was in town yesterday, not making movies or anything. You know what? He's a really nice guy, a really super nice guy. Privately,
never met him. I've been told
he. Well, there have been stories where he's lost his temper and you know things like that, but I've interviewed him I don't know how many times. Always very polite, always very nice, and this is what I really like about him. He very quietly does very, very nice charitable things for people, not looking for attention. In fact, he, you know, would prefer the cameras not follow him around with nice things that he does. One of them was yesterday when he was here raising awareness for SOS Children's Villages Illinois, which is a child welfare agency that serve kids who are in foster care, trying to keep families together and providing high quality foster care for kids. It's a great organization, and he's been involved with them for quite some time. So we talked about that. We talked about some of his past movies, some of his, you know, he's going to play Dick Cheney in a movie.
Is that right?
Coming out in December. He just lost 50 pounds. He just finished playing Dick Cheney in a movie. Talked about all of those things, which we're going to play the full interview on my Sunday show. But one of the things that we also talked about is being back in Chicago, where he filmed the legendary Dark Knight movies.
Lovely to look at all the locations that we blew up back in 2007. I was so impressed every night with the stunt guys that we actually managed to keep these gorgeous buildings gorgeous, you know, because it certainly looked at times like that truck. I'll be looking at that truck going, oh man, is it going to go sideways? Nope. Every time they did it perfectly.
It's the very street in front of the...
Good. Yeah.
This LaSalle Street is where the famous
really,
truck
really
scene.
Good memories I have here.
Every time I look up at what now is called Willis Tower, then Sears Tower, and I think that Christian stood on the edge of that building.
Yeah, that was definitely an adrenaline rush. Yeah. I was just talking about that, how I took my little girl up there, not obviously to the edge, but just, you know, showing her, and then just saying how the trick to standing on the edge of a building with wind gusts like that is you've got to relax your legs, because when you stand firm, you'll go just flying off and meet the cars.
Besides all that, but I mean, do you have memories of just like living here for a little while?
I do. Yeah, no, I was really going down memory lane, just, you know, coming through here of times with my wife and daughter. My son wasn't born at that time, but going around Millennium Park and the morning ritual, going down to the playgrounds if I had time, and Navy Pier with my daughter, and then also, you know, very good memories of Heath here and being with him.
Yeah, the legendary Heath Ledger.
Sure.
Who I remember, you know, from our vantage point at Tribune Tower, we could look right across the river into Lower Wacker Drive where they were filming, and we would often see Heath Ledger skateboarding in full Joker makeup.
Yeah, he used to scare, and I'm not making this up, he used to scare the Polish cleaning ladies.
Yeah.
The Polish cleaning ladies would come in and go, "He's back!" And they'd run in and they'd be frightened.
Yeah, exactly right. So anyway, we're going to play the full Christian Bale interview on my Sunday show.
Michael from Kerry called and did a kick-ass Muppets voice and won the tickets to Avenue Q.
There you go, Michael.
Nice job. What's the Roseanne update?
The latest is that John Goodman finally said something about this whole thing, but mostly saying I just want to keep quiet about this. I don't want to make it worse. He neither condemned nor praised Roseanne and what she tweeted, but just said that he really wants to stay out of the whole thing. There's been talk that ABC could be bringing back some form of the cast of this show in possible two different scenarios, either as the Connor family minus Roseanne. In that scenario, Roseanne would still financially benefit from it because she created the show and the characters, so she would make money. But another scenario is they take the same cast and create a whole different show for them, but try to keep the chemistry of this cast together without Roseanne.
Here's a thought. I like that idea, and maybe put Patricia Heaton in it. You know, one of the most successful TV moms with two major successful
That's
ideas.
An interesting
shows.
Idea.
Maybe because, you know, when ABC had already ordered a second season of it, so they were financially obligated to still pay. They're going to pay one way or the other, cast, crew, people who they had to fire the other day. So maybe they're going to try to, you know, let's see if we can somehow salvage this. So what John Goodman said when asked about that was, you know more than I do about it.
Well, Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie O'Donnell just steps in and you call it Rosie Ann.
That wouldn't be controversial at all.
I don't have to change the graphics very much.
Who's playing Riot Fest?
We've got Blink 182 playing this year. They're going to headline. Elvis Costello. Mm-hmm. Beck. The Imposters, Incubus.
I'm Alyssa, baby, so why don't you kill me?
Young the Giant, among those headlining. And get this for old schoolers, Deborah Harry and Blondie will be performing. But this is the one that really gets me, 82-year-old Jerry Lee Lewis, the killer, the original killer.
Wow.
Jerry Lee Lewis is going to play Riot Fest this year.
Riot Fest gets some great names.
It's Douglas Park, September 14th through 16th, and
it's wild.
Tickets are on sale now.
Kind of makes you wonder why Taste doesn't get better bands now, because Taste doesn't have anybody anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Brigitte Nielsen's pregnant. This has got to be a joke.
This is her. This will be her fifth child. She is now on husband number 5, which also included Sylvester Stallone.
Well, what I'm talking about here is she's 54 years old or something,
54
right?
years old.
So is that, how do we presume this pregnancy happened? When a man loves a woman, when a mommy loves a daddy.
The her current husband, her fifth husband, they've been married since 2006. Just now getting around to having a baby.
I mentioned she's 54. I mean, I know it's possible, but the odds are crazy long.
It's dangerous.
Oh, completely. The health risks are unbelievable.
Not just for the mother, for the kid.
It's very dangerous.
Mm. I don't get it.
And as people know, Steve and I are both doctors.
Well, we also, I think we've been very honest about the fact that Dean or I, we can't have children.
You have been upfront about
that. It's very painful.
Very painful for us to report stories like this.
Kendrick Lamar?
I picked up his Pulitzer Prize yesterday, which was super cool. What was really cool, and I was watching all the video on this, all the academics, all the, you know, the intellectuals that normally get Pulitzer Prizes, all cozying up to Kendrick Lamar, taking selfies with him.
That's hilarious.
I loved
that. That's hilarious.
Loved it, that.
The nerds and the rap star.
Exactly right.
And finally, as you would guess, in the world we currently live, Kim Kardashian was at the White House yesterday talking about a very important issue.
Well, a lot of people know that she is an expert in prison reform.
It's just bizarre.
And if...
And the story she was there to talk about is very, very important story.
It's a serious story. It's about a woman who has been in jail for over 20 years on a first-time minor drug offense. And Kim Kardashian is advocating for a presidential pardon for her. So she was invited to the White House yesterday, had unprecedented clearance. Normally, when someone visits the White House, their vehicle stops outside of the gates, not right in front of the portico. She was invited to just drive right on in. And she had an hour-long meeting with the president. And
he doesn't have time to talk to Mueller, but he's got an hour for Kim Kardashian.
Jared Kushner was also in the meeting. And they talked about prison reform and probably The Bachelor.
And adoptions in Russia. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That was the wrong meeting.
And then they took a picture, you know, the standard picture now that you get when you go there with the president sitting behind his desk and, you know, Kim... you know, standing behind.
Posing?
Posing.
Yes.
Posing is the word, I think, that the kids like to use.
Sure.
So the president tweeted the picture saying, "Great meeting with Kim Kardashian today. Talked about prison reform and sentencing." So she stayed in Washington last night, had dinner with Jared Kushner and Ivanka.
There's nothing that needs to be added.
I'm just curious how Kim Kardashian becomes the expert on prison reform and sentencing.
Don't even ask.
Okay.
Yeah, don't ask.
Hater.
Right.
And did we get any word on what the new Secretary of State, Kourtney Kardashian, thinks of all of this? I'll see you later.
Bye.
Headlines next, then the mayor's here on 720 WGN.
Do not put M&M peanuts within 100,
oh, is that right?
100 yards. I can smell them. I know if they are there. And in fact, this is horrible. You go to a movie, empty the bag of M&M peanuts in the popcorn, shake it up.
Yeah. You know what that is? That's a New York move.
I wouldn't go that far. Yeah. It's an Emmanuel move. I really like
it. It's an Emmanuel family move?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Who dunks M&Ms? Who dunks M&Ms? In chocolate, take a guess. In chocolate, can you guess? Who covers them in candy? So there is no chocolate.
All right, that is our pressing issue.
M&Ms, man.
First off, Mayor Emanuel, I want to thank you for inviting me on your podcast. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I hope you had fun.
Yeah.
And
you learned a lot. That I can interview a guy that wants to do the interview.
I really was a little jumpy, wasn't I?
You were falling too back into form, but it was cute watching the out-of-body experience.
People are talking to me. But in the process, I brought you some junk food. You know, I'm not eating the junk food.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought it to you. And I'm just wondering who got the junk food, because your staff looked underfed to me.
Well, don't worry about the staff. I would just say, in fine tradition, some of Chicago's finest did really well on certain items of that, okay?
Little chocolate donuts for the boys and girls?
Yeah. Just to say Chicago's finest.
Okay. All right. I feel better about that.
But they want you back. Does that say anything? Yeah.
And not for the interview.
They just want to see, Uncle Steve come back. Okay.
Hey, let's plug the podcast you do
Chicago Stories. Yeah. We have a woman this week who has an early childhood center in Englewood.
Oh, that's a good story.
Cool. Yeah.
Really
good story. And against a lot of odds, created and done great. And her graduates, she tracks them all. They're what they've done in the high schools here in the city of Chicago, where they've gone to college. It's an incredible story, and it's part of my, obviously, effort not only to give every child a full day kindergarten, but now a full day free pre-K for every four-year-old.
As a matter of fact, that's a big announcement today. Full day pre-K. How much does this cost? Because I'm willing to pay for it. I got enough money in my wallet
right
now.
That's what you. So today, the way we're set up is that every the truth is the children of well-to-do parents can pay. And the truth is also poor children, parents, they enroll them in Head Start. If you're a working parent, your kids are out on the cold and left by curbside. And so my goal is not to make this based on either a government individual program or parents' means, but every child gets full-day pre-K for four-year-olds.
And we know you got to get them early. We know what a big deal this is.
You
about
know how you know it and I know it? We're fathers.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that's how we know. And I always argue with all these researchers that say, well, there's no research. I said, really? Tell me how you were as a parent.
Right.
And I'll tell you why. And we just got to be honest about it. And I also, this is what I'm, so when I walked into on 2011, 7 years ago, half our kids did not have a full day of kindergarten. Today, they're not only going to get a full day of kindergarten, which they have, but they're going to get a full day of pre-K at four-year-old for every child. And that's exactly.
Do I have the number right? 3,700 kids will be impacted by this?
Starting next year, first 3,700, which will take us up to 15,000 total. And then each year over a four-year window will get us to 24,000 kids. And the budget that was passed yesterday in the Senate, the funding mechanisms of the state will, they're going to be an additional $70 million, $60 million for the city of Chicago, and that will go towards full-day pre-K. So some people said, oh, you're basing it on the state. Yeah, they passed a law, and they're fulfilling what exactly the law is. They're going to fund it.
That's the point.
And that's why we ended this 50 years of discrimination in funding from Springfield, and the peace dividend is going to go to our children and working families.
Look how far we've come to. Since 2011, I think it was Illinois and Chicago had one of the shortest school days.
Yeah.
Chicago had one of the
shortest school days in the United States. Not just one of. The shortest school day in the United States of America. We added an hour and 15 minutes every day, 2 weeks to every year. It was the equivalent of 2.5 years more classroom time for a child. And now we're going to add another full year, so it will be 3.5 years of additional instructional time, and that you can't make up for that.
Yeah. You can't make up for it. And the thing is, there's things in life where you go, okay, the government's doing this. I don't know how we quantify it. I don't know how we show it. This is common sense and logic.
Right.
You take care of kids at this age, the payback over the next generation will be incredible.
Right. Everybody does. There is a ton of academic research. Stanford, Harvard, University. Right.
What do they know?
No, there's a ton of you tell me a single parent that doesn't do early childhood education.
Exactly.
Okay. Right. So as I always say to all the propeller heads in my office, I don't need this. Okay. I read this stuff because that's actually in college I studied this. I actually wanted to be an early childhood educator. So I have studied it. You look at me with that.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. Well, I mean, I know how much kids mean to you because, you know.
I was preparing to dealing with aldermen. And the temper tantrums. How to manage temper tantrums. Or let me say this, members of Congress or cabinet secretaries in the White House.
Say babysitting, but that's a better way.
You know, I actually dealt with temper tantrums. I know I actually had
a... I think it's city council. Yeah, city council for sure.
Yeah, but in the end, no, I was going... So, went to school to be a dancer.
That I
had. Fell in love with early childhood education. Was teaching actually Montessori education.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then it was by a summer internship that I got interested in government and politics.
But you're right. You really haven't strayed far from working with children.
I'm going to hold my breath until I get, snap my feet, throw,
Just want you to reiterate, though, this full pre-K now is fully funded by the state.
Well, so we are putting money in. So when I started, I don't mean to do this, but 9,000 kids had full day pre-K.
Right.
The next year it will be 15,000. We've been incrementally moving up, finding 1,000 kids here or resources for 1,000. Going forward from there, it will be as the state fulfills the new funding under the education formula and the first budget, they've already done it. There's going to be $300 million additional dollars for education, of which Chicago's formula is $70 million of that. That $70 million will be towards full day. And each year, as they continue to follow through on the law they passed, we will have the resources for a full day pre-K. And it's in public policy, I mean, I have all the confidence of who the next governor will be, and I have all the confidence he will also be committed to funding full day pre-K.
What do parents need?
Wife endorsed what we did yesterday.
What do parents need to do? They need to take any action, you know.
No, actually, see, Chicago Public Schools is working through that process. But we're you know, and the one thing I will say to you is the neighborhoods we will focus on are where we know that the family's income are working parents who make somewhere around $45,000 a year or less, and those are going to be the first 3,700 kids that will get pre-K.
I give you a website, ChicagoEarlyLearning.org, for information.
You know, when I was working for President Clinton, mm-hmm. passed in 97, kid care. If you were had private insurance, your kids had health care.
Right.
If you were poor, you had Medicaid. If you were working and didn't have private insurance, your kids were out in the cold. So this is the same thing we have set up here, and we're going to fix this wrong and fix it finally.
Yeah, it's funny because Monday at the Patriot Golf Outing, we were talking about the gap in the GI Bill, and this is the gap in the pre-K situation.
Basically, you're telling working parents, you can either be a good employee or you can be a good parent, but the way the system's set up, you can't be both.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Crazy. So, full-day pre-K. And here's the other thing. Go all the way on the other end. We also give you free community college if you get a B average. So, we're going from K to 12
right.
to pre-K to college.
Yeah, some of the stuff in the middle is going to be up to the rest of you.
Right.
we're going to go a little bit of This Is Your Life with you in a second. There's a woman named Janae Myers, uh-huh. who used to work for you. Yeah. I know you'll recognize when he's here. From Chicago Cares is going to join us in a couple of minutes.
Oh, great.
So we'll do that next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, we only got a couple minutes here with Mayor Emanuel because he has a schedule he has to keep. He's running the city or something. If I said to you, at the end of the summer, what's one thing that's on the drawing board now that you really hope is accomplished for the city by the end of the summer? Is there anything that jumps to mind?
Oh, yeah. I mean, beyond what we've done on pre-K, the number one goal is that our kids will grow up having a summer in which they basically have their childhood back. Mm-hmm. There are too many kids in Chicago where gun violence is more familiar than laughter.
Right.
And my goal... I actually believe our police are doing an excellent job. I believe all the block club presidents I've met, not only over the tenure, but recently in preparation, all that, what we're doing on summer jobs. But, you know, this is going to take, as I said to at Pastor Meek's place on Saturday, you can have a lot of government initiatives, and I believe in after school, summer jobs, early childhood education, all that. In the end of the day, there is, for certain people, a spiritual deficit, and that's not government's job.
Right.
So we need...
The government can't fix that.
Well, no. This is a parental thing, but it's also, at that point, I need what I know happens in churches on Sunday, on the street, Monday through Sunday.
Power of the city also comes from people getting together for a great reason, and volunteering is a big part of that. And an old friend of yours, somebody that worked for you for a period of time, Janae Myers, is here. Mm-hmm. So as you leave, we bring Janae and the Chicago Cares CEO. You know about Chicago Cares?
Yeah. Speak to their breakfast every year.
Yeah.
Every year. And not just speak to it, but participate.
Chicago's largest volunteer organization. So before you walk out the door, is there any mission you'd like for the city? Volunteer more?
No, do more? Well, yes. First of all, everybody has to give something back. Mm-hmm. You know, Muhammad Ali has this great quote. I love this quote. Our service to others is the rent we pay for being here on earth.
That's a great quote.
And Chicago Cares takes that and brings it to life. We have a great city. We can always get better. If you give something to your neighborhood, to others, to improve their lives, you've done something to improve the city's life.
Enjoy this beautiful summer-like day in the greatest city in the world.
I will. Steve, I just want to say how proud we all are the way our little baby's all grown up, and we're really proud of you.
More to come on that story.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
You have so much more, better years ahead of you, and we have really high expectations of what you can become, okay?
Right. Details to follow. Thank you, Mayor Emanuel. Janae Myers is here, Chicago Cares, and is CEO of Chicago Cares. All you have to do is put together the largest volunteer organization, work, put them on the street, yeah. and make sure we get stuff done.
That's right.
So the Serve-a-thon starts when?
It is Saturday, June 23rd.
And the ultimate goal here is?
Ultimate goal is to mobilize Chicagoans to strengthen and unify our city. And we do that by getting people out of the
white ivory towers of downtown and out into the neighborhoods and into the communities to see really where they can put a little sweat equity and a little love and care into the neighborhoods.
I think, isn't TV doing a team?
Yeah, WGN yes. TV. Lourdes yes. has organized a yes. team. I think some of the radio folks here are going to mm-hmm. be painting houses, or they're going to be at one of the schools,
Because we're
yeah,
at schools. All neighborhood high schools this year.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Repainting and just doing everything for the school.
A lot of renovation.
Yeah.
People generally, I mean, it's a human condition that people want to help, but they don't know how to help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important, too, that we get that message out that this is not just, well, I know about the American Heart Association or the Cancer Society or this big organization or that. There's millions of ways you can help that you haven't even thought of, and the team concept is a big part of it, right?
Yes, yes. And at Chicago Cares, we work with so many smaller grassroots nonprofit organizations that are out in the neighborhoods and the communities because they don't have the capacity to manage volunteers. So that's where Chicago Cares steps in and helps them. We also help teach them how to manage and utilize volunteers for their mission. So you could do a number of different projects, and this is all throughout the year. So Servathon's one day. It's amazing. It's a wonderful day. But we do projects all year round. So whether it's sitting down with seniors and making a breakfast and talking to them, and you know, so often our seniors are living in isolation, which is a really tough situation, or it's you know out planting a community garden. There are so many different ways people can give back and volunteer, and it's super easy, and you can find that all at chicagocares.org.
The organization is just wonderful because I know you guys usually have a big rally in Daly Plaza, and then everybody gets bused to where they're going to be, but it's everything, as you just said, from driving someone somewhere or grocery shopping to painting a school to planting a community garden. So it's really everything
you can think of. Everything you can think of. And the actual Servathon event, this year we are actually focusing on neighborhood high schools. So I'm sure you know with Chicago Public Schools, in a system of choice, oftentimes those neighborhood schools are left behind.
Yep.
So how can we lift up our neighborhood schools? This is one way. And so not only will volunteers be in there and painting and renovating and doing a ton of work to actually make the schools really have a fresh look for the students when they come back in the fall, but we're also going to have students and community members there. It's really important for those volunteers to connect with people that live in that neighborhood and live in that community so that they don't just have this concept of Englewood or Austin or Pilsen or whatever in their mind, that they go, oh, no, I met someone face-to-face, eye-to-eye, and I can see the humanity in them and the commonalities that we all share. Because that's something that can really happen easily through service, and it's a very kind of unobtrusive, easy way to break down barriers that so often we find here in the city.
Stick around. More with Janae Myers in a second. Website is?
ChicagoCares.org.
All right, stand by. Sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. You can see Walter. You can hear Walter's perspective. If you want to see Walter, I do all of his bookings. I'll send you to his house.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could sing, but I can try for your heart. Our dreams, and they are made out of real things.
What if I told you you could feel good about yourself because you helped, because you paid forward, you gave back, and you didn't have to do the organizing? Well, that's what it is. It's a Servathon. It's the city's largest single day of service on June 23rd. Janae Myers is here. She's the boss at the organization that puts this on, and that is Chicago Cares. Did you start Chicago Cares?
Oh, no. It was started 27 years ago. So actually,
well, founders. Well, you were four.
Yeah.
Very advanced child.
Actually, Leslie Bloom and Mary Perhall were the founders, and they just had realized that they wanted to give back and do more, as did their friends, but there was no easy way to do it. So they created Chicago Cares, and there's actually models nationally. There's a New York Cares, a Boston Cares.
Sure.
We're part of a bigger, larger national network, but we've been around now for 27 years here.
We honor kids every week here with Kid of the Week. We always tell good news stories about kids every Tuesday morning, and so much of that is kids volunteering, giving back, and kids get excited, and they're passionate, and they're energetic. And then they get into their 20s and their 30s, and you're working, and you're raising a family, and maybe a little tight on time. And then you get older in life, and maybe you have a little more time. But once you get past 21, How do you break down that wall if I'm super busy, I'd like to help, but what do we say to people to get them involved?
So Chicago Cares makes it so, so easy for folks. So like a lot of, you know, first jobs are consulting or traveling or whatever. You can volunteer once with Chicago Cares and never again. We hope that's not the case, but we have opportunities where you can kind of dip in or dip out. It's not a, you know, 10-month long every week mentoring opportunity. Well, you can find those. It's more easy entry level kind of one one volunteering for a way to give back. So, and we offer most of our opportunities are in the evenings and on weekends. So they're easy for folks that are working. And there's such a variety. So we're doing stuff all over the city. We've got volunteers from every zip code participating, which is fantastic. So there's a little something for everyone. We try to have projects that are close and easy to public transportation. Again, opportunities through your companies. So that's another way folks can get involved. If you're not finding it on your personal time, implore your company to think about getting involved.
Absolutely. As we said, WGN has a team as well. What I think is great is I know you're speaking mainly of young professionals, but children, young as you started this with Kid of the Week, Steve.
Yeah.
We see kids volunteering now at such a young age.
Yes.
Are you seeing that too?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And we want to start them young and start them early. Now, so much of what Chicago Cares does is oftentimes like 12 and above, and it just depends on the agencies and the places that we're going. But we have a great partner called the Honeycomb Project, which caters to families volunteering for those wee little ones. Now, the attention span is much shorter, of course, right? And the activities have to be a little bit different. So it just depends. But yes, there are opportunities for
everyone. Start them on a life of volunteering.
That's
though.
Right.
It's a big deal.
That's right.
Some of the sponsors, I think it's important we mention these folks that are writing checks and kicking in the money. Because honestly, this costs a lot more money than you would think. This isn't just people volunteering their time. There's administration. There's setup costs. There's
supplies,
hard costs.
Supplies, yes.
PepsiCo, GCM. Help me out, GCM,
Grosvenor,
Winston & Strawn. Are they still in business?
Winston & Strawn.
Are they doing okay?
A little law firm.
Discover Financial Services, IRI, and Epsilon, all amongst the folks.
Yes.
So corporations, we have a lot of big shots that listen. Corporations that didn't even know they could help.
Yes.
What do they do? Just go to the website?
Go to the website and find or info@chicagocares.org or try to Google me and find me directly. And we'll find a way for you to get involved. So whether it's Servathon, we can also customize opportunities for corporations to get involved. Corporations nowadays, you're seeing it with everything. Like, look what just happened with Starbucks and their response to what happened in the store in Philly. They're saying, how can we do more in our community? What does that look like? Not only is it internal training for their staff, but what's that kind of community aspect? So there's a way to do that through volunteering, and Chicago Cares can really make it easy for corporations.
Here's the important stuff. You got to volunteer by the 15th.
Yes, to sign up. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sign up, I should say, by the 15th.
Yep.
The volunteer day itself is the 23rd?
Yes, correct.
You need 5,000?
We need 5,000 people, so keep signing up.
Yeah, and don't worry about whether or not we're close to the number. Just get your friends and come on out.
Yes, create a team, get your friends and family, tell everyone. It's a super fun day with at the end of the day, there's also a big party. So there's beer, hot dogs, a tent, music. I mean, it's so much fun. So it's really a day to celebrate and to have the vibrancy of our city really showcased.
And then do you collapse on the 24th for a couple of days?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so. Yeah.
Yep.
But the organization is busy all year long.
All year round.
For some reason you miss this.
Yep.
And I'm not advocating you do. But if for some reason you miss this, don't forget ChicagoCares.org is a website. Check it out all year long.
Correct.
Help out where you can.
Yes, thank you.
A lot of respect for what you do. You know that.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Janae Meyer, ChicagoCares.org. All right. And good luck to the Lourdes and the Channel 9 team.
Yeah, and we're going to recruit you guys, too.
Yeah, listen, I'll do whatever you need.
I know you will.
Yeah. 9:27, coming back with your headlines. What's up on that? Did you mention?
We did, but we're also going to talk about some more of those West Nile mosquito virus cases discovered in the north suburbs as well, Steve.
Okay, coming up, 7:20 WGN.
The outbound Eden still a mess because of this ramp closure at Willow involving an overturned tractor trailer filled with beer. So crews are on the scene trying to figure out how to offload that. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Hey, Mary, where's that beer spill? We're asking for a friend.
Oh, gee, I wonder who that is.
Dave Dennett.
The outbound.
I did.
Dave, it's on your way home.
There
Where's
you go.
See, was anyone hurt?
Outbound Edens at Willow on the ramp.
But no one was hurt.
Jackknife tractor, no.
Okay, because now.
Except for the beer.
Right now, we are rushing a truck of pretzels to that area.
Yes.
And we're hoping to cause that truck to spin out.
And they didn't specify keg, bottle, or can. So, not sure.
Craft. local. We don't know yet. At least everybody's
or brand.
Okay.
I think it's
that's some drunk ass pavement. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Monitors all over the studio. We will in the new studio as well. And Channel 9 is obviously one of them. CLTV as well. And hi to everybody on CLTV. But here's the deal. I couldn't help but noticing on the Channel 9 monitor this morning that Paul was an extra button down on the old chest.
Ooh,
a little extra eye candy for the ladies.
Yes. It's going to be 90 today.
But when you're getting dressed,
naughty, naughty 90.
When you're getting dressed, and you look in the mirror, do you go, I'm going one more?
Yeah,
I'm
well,
going
listen,
one more button.
I typically, in the last 15 minutes of the show, I'm going down one more.
So it's Cochran. Oh, yeah, you're doing two?
Yeah, I need one, two. I might go down to the navel.
Oh, show's over.
It's a hot look.
It is a hot look, especially at my age and my condition. This is the time to bring it.
Somebody else the other day came up and said, you and Conrad should both shave your face. You should shave the goat in my case or the beard in his case just to see what it would look like.
Ah.
And I said it would look like a couple of AMF bowling balls.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
It's not all that interesting.
Yeah.
Not that the other stuff's interesting either.
No, this is the distraction. It's not a goatee. It's the distraction.
Exactly right. Makes me look taller.
How are you?
I am very good.
It sounds like there's trouble.
No, I'm just trying to get my bearings. Everything's kind of goofy today for some reason. In fact, it's so goofy, I had to give up my Botanic Backyard segment. I didn't realize it was at this time. But listen, I had the choice of doing the Botanic Garden.
Or us.
Or you guys. I'm like, I'm doing Cochran anytime.
Yeah, that's the right move.
Yeah.
There's no question. I appreciate that.
Well, listen,
right
I know where the bread is being buttered, as they like to say.
Yeah, well, that's and don't pull a muscle.
No.
So Paul Conrad, who of course does your weather every morning on Channel 9 and your assorted goofery, the weather today, excessively humid. Do we have to worry about being outside? What can you tell us?
I know a lot of people like to worry about a lot of different things, you know? And there's times I'm like, listen, you don't have to worry about going outside today, even if it was 100.
Well, there's people walking by the window practically naked. I mean, you can tell it's hot out there.
Well, it's hot, but even naked people will be all right today. I'm pretty sure.
By the way, I don't want to be distracted here, but I just glanced at the Channel 9 monitor, and Pat Tomasulo is doing the Botanic Garden segment.
He
couldn't look less interested.
Yeah, I felt it was very nice of him. I asked if he would mind filling in for me, and he's doing an awesome job.
Yeah.
And he looks like he really cares about it.
He's looking at these plants going, what time does my show start?
Yeah.
I just couldn't care less.
The best part of me doing the Botanic Garden segment, which I've done now for maybe 15 years, is that I live on the fifth floor of a building. I haven't had a yard in like 35 years, and I don't have a plant in my house either. But it's nice to see him every once
in
a while.
You know a lot about what you're talking about.
Oh, my Lord, yes.
Now, you had a question in science because Paul is Mr. Science.
All
right,
Paul, you are. I think of you all the time. Apply the sunblock, stay hydrated, all the advice that you typically...
Bend at the knees.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that,
keep your head down.
Right.
What's an ozone action day?
It's an ozone action day. It's one of those days where there's so many particulates of pollution in the air, and the atmosphere, the air around us is so hot that for people who are... maybe having problems that are elderly or breathing issues.
Asthmatics,
thank you. Those are days that are going to be a little harder for them to be outside for longer periods of time.
Makes sense.
What about the allergies? Because my eyes are itching today.
Let me tell you about the allergies, because grass is high right now, and trees are moderate. And weeds, I believe, are high as well. Now, if you're wondering about which tree is leading the way in pollen, right now, the biggest problem is the mulberry tree.
Let's go to the leaderboard. Mulberry
in top
of the leaderboard
But grass is really high right now also. Let me just say how impressive it is for me that I actually know that information.
You're quite impressed with yourself right now?
I can't believe that I remember it. I saw it on an email this morning, and it stuck in my head.
Wow.
I can't believe NASA hasn't snapped him up.
It is surprising me, right? I am wasting this thing on doing local morning news with a bunch of goober buffoons. I could be I could be on the moon.
Have you thought about being an astronaut?
No, it's a lot of work, and
you know, you gotta, I think you have to be like 18 or something, and so that ship sailed.
Can you see if he was doing like an Elon Musk mission and we had like an Apollo 13 situation?
Oh, yeah.
This is what it would be. Houston, we're effed.
Yeah, we're up the creek on this one.
We got no shot.
Hey, you buffoons.
Yeah.
You have big plans for the weekend?
That is a great question.
Well, let's go through the kids now. How old is Klaus?
Klaus is 15.
Whew.
He's turning into a nice young man.
Whew,
I'm
15.
Generally pleased with who he is at this point.
What about Bert and Ernie? How old are they?
Bert and Ernie. Bert is 10. Mm-hmm. Ernie is 7. And then my daughter Liliana, who I'm just coming right out and saying it, I like her the most.
Sure.
The favorite.
She is normal. She's kind-hearted.
And she plays you like a fiddle.
She's got me so figured out, it's not even funny. She could ask for everything. I'd be like, yeah, it's all yours.
Yep.
You're kind. Yeah. Hey, they're calling me in my ear. Yeah, Joe.
Joe, what do you need?
They need me to get outside. I got to get to the Icebox Derby.
Oh, you got to go rescue. Yeah, okay.
Sorry. I love you.
Love you. Okay, bye-bye.
Be careful.
Okay,
oops,
bye-bye.
Sorry.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, bye. That's Paul Conner. We had like an extra layer of problem today because of us moving. There were technical considerations, and if you're watching CLTV and you're going, where's Paul? We don't know. We couldn't see him either because he couldn't be in the place where he usually would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a technical explanation. Paul couldn't be where he was supposed to be.
But you could still see him in your mind's eye.
That's where it gets crowded.
Yep.
And of all days, today was the day where he did the extra unbutton.
Yeah.
The reveal.
Sexy Paul. It's 9:47. Bill and Wendy at 10. Why does today feel like Friday?
It does feel like a Friday.
Why does today feel like Friday?
Because we didn't start till Tuesday.
You would think that it would feel like Thursday.
Because we were packing. Wednesday. We've been packing, so it feels like we're like leaving all the time.
Now, here's the thing I don't know. Do I go upstairs after the show, or do I just get out of the building?
You leave.
Sandberg says we leave.
You
got to get out.
Some of us still have packing to do.
But there's no reason for me to go upstairs anymore, right?
Not. As of tomorrow, there's no reason for any of us to go upstairs. No,
I have to go upstairs. I have to be here tomorrow, right here.
Now, we're no longer in the same company as the Chicago Tribune, the newspaper. But we have lots of friends at the Tribune. So what if, just because I've got a couple of minutes at 10 o'clock, what if I go to the third floor, run through the newsroom, and go, get out! Get out! Hurry!
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say stop and say goodbye to everybody, and then we would watch Mary Sandberg's head just go.
You can't talk to them.
No, yeah. Steve is...
You would take like a day to say goodbye.
Steve says a bit about women not being able to leave parties or something, but he's the one that cannot leave a room.
But I'm very popular. Yes. As I leave, people want to talk.
They do. But yeah, you don't need to go upstairs. There's nothing to go upstairs
But there's
to.
Nothing left, right?
There isn't.
Take your food out of the refrigerator, though.
Also, that Willow exit where the beer is, my stepson Patrick has a Colonial Fair going on today, and he's a gun maker, and I'm going to that, and that's my exit for the Colonial Fair, so I hope it's cleared up.
Why did the whole thing sound like a plot from 2020? What's going on in your life?
Spilled beer.
I heard my son, beer, guns. What's happening?
It's not Sam Adams beer, is it?
I don't know. Do we get a kind of beer?
Mary.
No, we don't. Oh, because it's called Sam Adams. That's good. That's a good one, Bertrand.
I believe the beer is not spilled.
It's not?
No. Oh. It's, yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's contained.
Has it been dumped out of the road?
They have to offload the beer.
Oh, well, Dave. You can take off, really.
Dave, hop to it.
I guess I can get off at Lake Street, then.
Yeah. You know, Joe just made a good point in my head. He said, we don't want it to be spilled. We want it to be mobile.
Right.
Intact. Yeah, that's a good point.
And we have extra boxes.
It could be dented, though.
Go fill up some of the boxes.
There's no tape. That's the other thing on our call yesterday. I found out people were asking.
This is a conference call for the company?
Yeah. People were asking for tape for the boxes. They gave us purposely boxes that don't need tape.
Correct.
Okay. That is true, but... Okay, I'm not going to...
No, you have time now. You didn't have time earlier.
Mary's,
we want to hear.
This is the second time this morning Mary's been critical of my role in the call, and I'm taking it personally.
We had about 20 people that are on this conference call every week, and the goal is two things. One, to get the pertinent information in the first 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Two, to shorten the call.
Right.
And you're saying, Dave, you elongated the call?
Well, people were asking questions about the moving, when the moving packet had clear directions and pictures of what to do.
These are envelopes that were handed to us.
Envelopes with stickers.
Like,
do you put a sticker on your keyboard? Yes, it says it right there on every piece of equipment.
Right.
It don't put it in a box. Don't unplug it. It all was stated there. But anyway, Dave apparently was looking for some tape. But all of our boxes were self-closing boxes or computer boxes with lids, so tape should have been not even
Dave, if you needed help with your box, you should have asked me, because I would have immediately gotten Sandberg to do it for you.
Steve Cochran tried to assemble his own boxes, and the lids were still attached, and it was very...
Tried to is probably generous.
Now, I will
folded one over once, and then I set it on its side, and I went, Mary...
And it helped me put my box together, and Bertrand made fun of me for how long, Bertrand?
Yeah, and then you left an Enid folded mine.
That's right. And so I understand that these boxes...
What are you, a Boy Scout? Why are you so good at putting moving boxes
together?
Are you like the Domino's pizza guy from the commercial?
We all have our talents, Steve. That happens to be one of mine.
Wow.
But I have some very rare old tapes, and they're taking up a lot of space in the box. And so I wanted to tape them to make sure it doesn't, because they may be in like the Museum of Broadcast Communications someday.
Right, the Hall of Fame.
See, I live under this great misconception as well that someday my kids might want to play for their kids what Grandpa did for a living. Right. When I know full well, 10 minutes after I'm gone, Ross will be racing Amy to the dumpster to throw out whatever I did.
The moving truck will be backing in the driveway. Get it out.
I found my application for my internship here in 1984.
Ah, come on.
In a file here.
It's kind of historic. You know, you're a Walk of Famer.
Right.
So Dave Ennett, though, that's why they have to have tape for their boxes, because their stuff's more important.
Walk of Famers get tape.
I found not an email, but a memo from Marlene Wells from mid-90s. Steve's name is on it, I think. My name's on it. I couldn't find too many people on that memo, on the distribution list.
Who's still working?
Still alive?
Who's still work here? Many of them, yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, a lot of them are dead.
A lot of them are.
Marlene just celebrated 50 years here.
Right.
Remember we went to that party? I have a great photo of you and John Acosta.
Yeah, you do, actually. Did I find anything interesting? I don't think I did.
No, you had an envelope of somebody who sent you a harassing letter, but you didn't have the letter. We just found the envelope.
Oh, yeah. I turned the letter over to security if someone wanted to hurt me.
The coolest thing I found was wire tape from... I mean, this is going to sound bad, but you remember we used to have the old dot matrix printer and the news...
Oh, that's a good story.
And you kind of rip it off. Mm-hmm. It was the wire copy as Princess Diana's crash unfolded.
From 1998?
From 1998, and it said, Princess Diana's been involved in a crash. And then the next one would come over, it said, she's critical. And then it said she'd pass. So I saved the wire copy of it. It's kind of morbid,
but... That's kind
of
cool,
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I found Max Armstrong.
You didn't know?
Yeah, he was in one of my drawers. Bill and Wendy coming up.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Why don't you ride, child? 9:57. We were talking yesterday, before we run out of time here, that the Roseanne thing was unprecedented. There are actually 15 shows that were canceled because of controversies.
Oh, was Two and a Half Men one?
Well, I mean, they got an extra couple of years out of it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
19 Kids and Counting canceled because Josh Duggar of the Duggar family allegedly molested other family members.
Oh, that's right.
Let's see here.
What about
MTV's Buck Wild? A cast member from Buck Wild was found dead during the production of season 2.
Oh my God, I don't remember that.
Does that mean we can't do the show anymore? Yeah, it kind of does. Evan Ocho was canceled after Ocho was arrested for reportedly physically assaulting Ev.
Oh, I don't remember that show at all.
Ocho was the Chad Johnson reality show, the guy that was the receiver.
Ocho Cinco?
Yeah.
8-5?
Flip It Forward was canceled before it airs because the two stars allegedly have beliefs that were counterculture to HGTV's hopes. One of them, right wing watch and a Muslim problem.
Wow.
TBS stopped CeeLo Green's The Good Life after tweets about sexual assault and his biatches. TLC's Here Comes Honey Boo Boo was canceled to ensure safety of the children.
Oh, Honey Boo Boo.
TLC didn't cancel John and Kate Plus 8, but they got rid of John.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that dude?
John Gosselin.
John, is that his name?
Yeah.
John Gosselin?
Yeah.
She, by the way, thinks the kids are being harmed because no one will hire her for another TV show.
Yeah.
I thought have America's Got Talent.
HBO's Luck, which starred Chicago's own Dennis Franz, was canceled after three horses reportedly died during production.
Yipes.
Megan Wants a Millionaire. It was a Fox reality show. One contestant on Megan Wants a Millionaire was linked to the murder of his wife, so they couldn't go on anymore.
Let it go.
I'd Paula still take Deen. Him. Millionaire, come on.
Paula Deen's Food Network empire came crashing down because of racial slurs.
Oh, remember yeah. that? When she
of course, she ended up dancing
mm-hmm.
on Dancing with the Stars shortly thereafter. And obviously the Roseanne reboot. So nothing of the same nature of, you know, the same size of the Roseanne show as a hit, but there were a few.
Remember when Kathy left and they took Eric off? That was he was done.
That was
no more show there.
Yeah. Whatever happened to him?
Done. Out of the business.
Yeah. Remember when Angela Lansbury was busted for crack and they had to end Murder, She Wrote?
Yes. Murder, She Snorted. They changed the title, remember?
Bill and Wendy in a minute. From what's left of the Tribune Tower, the Bill and Wendy show about to start.
You noticed that too, huh?
Seventh floor looks like there's been a war.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just glad I'm all packed.
So did you sticker everything?
Yes, I did.
Okay, then.
We even stickered Jasmine. Bill did that.
She has stickers on her now.
Well, that's right. That's the best way to get your producer moved over to the new place. Do we know, yes, this is my thing, and I am wondering about it, and I'm going to continue to ask. Do you know why we have this beautiful new facility, yet we're moving trash cans into it from this dump?
That's the best question ever. I thought when Mary brought that up, it was a joke that you have to put a sticker on a garbage can.
Why do you move garbage cans? You don't move garbage cans when you move from your house, do you?
No money left.
So we ran out?
Yep.
Well, we spent a lot of money, I can say that.
IKEA.
Yeah. I am going to get an estimate, and if it makes sense, I'm going to buy new trash cans for everybody.
For everybody?
My gift to the staff.
Steve, oh, thanks, Steve.
Giver.
Very generous.
Can I have a purple one?
I haven't said I'd done it yet. I've said I'm going to get an estimate.
All right.
Dave should get a purple one.
If anyone.
I'm not sure.
Wendy could have one, too.
Okay.
Yeah. So how much trash cans cost? Are they expensive?
$4.99.
Not expensive. Oh, you could afford.
Maybe $8.99.
All right, the deluxe ones.
Yeah. We're back tomorrow. We think from this building, the Tribune Tower. God bless it. What are you guys doing today?
Steve Dale will be here. Also, you're excited about an author we're having on.
Dave Itzkoff has written a biography of Robin Williams, The Good Times and the Bad Times of
Robin
Williams.
I've heard a
Williams.
Lot about this book.
It looks really good, so he'll be on to talk about that.
All right, cool.
You can win. Are you finished?
Yeah, apparently.
Today. Usually you throw it to me, but
there was nothing else that occurred to me. Seems like that would be it.
Okay. You can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado for all the details.
I'll put a sticker on that, Wendy, or they'll forget to move it.
For details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago.